And Janet has a poem she wants to read. I want to take a moment, if anybody has any testimonies at this time as well. But this is a testimony.
This is a poem prayer by Edward Hayes. My soul hungers for your love, O divine maker of hearts, for the taste of your joy and the aroma of your peace. May this time of prayer fill me with the whisper of your presence and let me feel the touch of your hand on my heart. How I long for the depths of your love, to know your quiet constancy, the feast of your friendship that feeds me without end. Oh, how my soul longs for you. You elude all names we give you and dwell beyond the grasps of brilliant minds. Your essence pulses within every atom, yet extends beyond the far frontiers of space, unscanned by the longest telescopes. Awaken me to your presence now, this moment, in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great prayer.
Amen. Well, I have a prayer praise. I have many, but I'll just throw one out here. I have a new friend. Her name is Kelly, and invited her last week, and she came. You know how you invite people? They don't come. She came. I was so happy and delighted to see her today. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a funny story how we met. I'm not going to tell you how we met, but she said, I told her that Ron Scofield and Marie are playing worship. They are? I thought Ron died. She was told about 2 weeks earlier that he had passed away, and the rumor was going around town that he had passed away a couple of weeks ago. So, he's raised from the dead, alive and well. So anyway, that was kind of neat. Yeah, no, we're all still here.
Yeah, sure, good to be alive again.
Yeah. Okay, we have Butch want to come up and share a little bit about our Sunday morning Bible study.
Good morning. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was from the 15th chapter of Exodus. Probably most people think of Exodus, you think of exiting. Exiting. Well, this particular lesson is about a song of praise that you will find in the 15th chapter of Exodus. This chapter deals with the Israelites immediately after they are on the other side of the Red Sea. I think it's important that they're praising God for the miracles that they have just seen accomplished on their behalf by their God. And so they're singing and praising and dancing, and the women are playing on the timbrels, small drums, and they are having a glorious, joyful celebration of God, because they now know for certain that they are redeemed. And they're on their way to the promised land. And if you read that chapter, you'll see that they're talking about things that are going to happen in the future that actually do happen. And if you read on in Exodus, you'll see that the very things they talk about that they're already praising God for are going to happen. Well, the song that Brother Scofield picked this morning, Traveling On. You know, our relationship with God and the Israelites' relationship with God didn't stop when they were redeemed. And they, if you read that chapter, you'll find out that they were ready and willing to travel on. Being redeemed in the Old Testament was a glorious and joyous occasion. And being redeemed in the New Testament is just as glorious and just as joyous. We need to keep that in mind, is that we can all remember the moment that we were saved. Do you remember the journey? Oh. Redemption is just the beginning. The journey that you're going to have, that you're going to take with your Lord and Savior, it should be a treasure. It should be a treasure. And when we come to this sanctuary, which I believe they talked about being that God had invited them into His holy habitation, that's where we are today. We should be celebrating. We should be joyous. We should be smiling, everyone. And so on this Sunday, keep in mind, being redeemed is just the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful relationship that we can have with our Redeemer. Thank you.
Amen. So today is, again, Communion Sunday, and we're just going to spend a few minutes preparing ourselves. Now, this was my first Communion Sunday, so I am going to give you a little bit of background or insight. Many times in church services, and it's good, it's a good thing, but I'm going to tell you something a little different today. A lot of us say, okay, when you come in, leave everything out, because you want to come and focus and worship the Lord. Leave everything outside the walls. Here's the problem. When you leave, it's waiting for you. We don't want to leave and have it waiting for us. I would go to a conference and they'd want to stay at the conference. Nobody wants to go home. You can't do that. You have to go back into your environment. And what I want to do today is help you bring everything in that you've left out. Because I got to think about God right now. And yes, but you've got to think about God in your circumstances and cares. Don't push Him out. He's got to bring it in with you. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Instead of dreading going home because, oh no, I got to go home and clean my house or do the dishes. And in my case, I got to go home and bring furniture back in because I had my whole house torn apart for new flooring. So I'm having to go home and do that, but I'm excited because Tom's going to do it. John 4:24 tells us that God is a spirit and they must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So as we take all these things in, we're being honest with God. We're not, okay, I'm this person, I'm going to go to church and I've got this churchy smile on and everybody's going to think I'm okay. But inside you're dying, you're crying, you're hurting. The church should be a hospital. The church should be a hospital so that when people come, they can find what they need and then go back out and be what they need to be in Christ. Because if you're out there hurting and painful, nobody's going to want what you want, what you've got. They're going to want what you want if they see you going through something and yet you're at peace. The other day I had a television crew come to the church here because I was actually on the evacuation notice to leave as well. So I was here and I met with them and I'm talking to them and they look at me and go, why are you so calm? It's because of Jesus. It's because I have nothing to worry about. I'm just a traveling through. This place is not my home. We are not to be as the world who has no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says that. We are not to be as those who have no hope. We have hope. When you come into church, that's why you're here. You have hope. If you didn't have hope, you wouldn't be here. And I love this scripture, and we have to grab it. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace. It says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Am I supposed to go to God like this? Oh, God. Oh, I'm so much a worm. Oh, I'm such a worm. No. He says, I'm coming to you, Lord. I've got my whole bunch of stuff that I got issues with, God. I'm bringing Him with me. I'm bringing them boldly to your throne. That's what I want to do in this church today. I want you to take what you've got, you've stuck outside. I want you to think of three things, because I know we all have a little. three things right now that is distracting you when you go out. I mean, it just consumes you. It bothers you. It worries you. It causes you fear. Those are the things we're going to take to the Lord today. We need to leave them here in the hospital. Get well in the church. Then you can go out and be well to those people around you. The Statue of Liberty has a poem, and I'm going to read it to you. Maybe you never even heard it, but that's what this church should be. It says this: give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. This country's greatness and true genius lies in its diversity. Bring in your sad, bring in your painful, bring in the hungry, bring in the people that have needs. What? No, in the parking lot? No, in the church. Does that make sense? That the church needs to be a place where you can come and pull your hair out and scream and yell and do all the things and then go out and be righteous. Leave all your unrighteousness here. Leave all the garbage here. Go to that's what the altars are for, so that you can dump at the feet of Jesus. Does anybody need to dump today? And you can take that any way you want. And we'll talk about that at one time, but we're not today. So I want you to think about a few things that might be in your heart that you're dealing with. A sick loved one, salvation for somebody, finances for yourself. Here's one thing that I realized when we have prayer requests. Nobody asks for prayer for themselves very often. Very, very few. They always ask for others, which is very admirable. But I'm telling you something. We all have needs too. So I want you to take an opportunity this day, because we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I'm going to read a few scriptures that backs this up. We got to have a pure heart before we take communion today. You can't be mad at somebody sitting next to you and take the cup and the bread. It says that you will damn your own life. You will cause sickness on your own life. I'd rather not take anything if that's the case. I will just, let me go take care of my issues and then I'll come back. What does the Bible say about this? When people were sick, because we have to talk about sickness, because people are sick and die who do not do communion properly. That's what it says in the Bible. The first thing you do is you go to the elders of the church in the New Testament. But what do? We call our mom. We go to the internet. We talk to the pharmacist. We get on social media. We talk to a friend. Where's God? Where's the elders? Church is the number one place to come for prayer, for healing. Then, of course, if he guides you into doctors or whatever you need to do, then, of course, follow through. But that's what we do in the New. The Old Testament, they went to the priests. So we're covered. Old and New was always the house of God. We are to bring all of our cares and burdens to the feet of Jesus. Remember the guy in the Bible that's in Mark 2, 3 through 5. Let's look at Mark 2, 3 through 5. Always speaks better than I can. Mark 2, 3 through 5. And it's about the guy who had palsy and his friends lowered him into the roof. It says this: and they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, for the people were all around, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down on the bed where the sick of the palsy lied on that bed. And Jesus saw their faith and said to him, sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, you are healed because of your faith. He said, thy sins have forgiven thee. Sometimes our sickness is rooted from a sin. I'm just saying it. You can do what you want with that. Are you doing everything we can to bring our issues to the Lord? Are you tearing down the walls to get to the Lord like this guy's were? We need to press in and do everything we can to get to Jesus. What better place to do that than in church? See, we come in, we look at everybody's backs of their heads, and then we leave. That's why I give you time to share your testimonies or your heart, because we need to hear from you. We don't want to leave anything outside. Do you know what I mean by leaving it outside, forgetting about it, coming in and just wanting to focus on Jesus? He loves that. But he's also saying, excuse me, you're kind of not being honest here. I know what's out there waiting. So let's take care of that. Bring it in and let's do that. We need to take care of our body of believers and, of course, ourselves. I'm going to read this scripture, and it kind of backs up what I've been talking about. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him God will destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So it really says this. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit resides in you? So wherever you go, you take the Holy Spirit with you. If any man defiles the temple, him will God destroy. Now, what that means in the New Testament, he's not going to just strike you dead. In the Old Testament, they did that. He did that, right? You did something wrong, he zapped you with his lightning bolt and you died. Well, in the New Testament, we're under grace. So we get a little time to figure things out, okay? So he gives us time. He still has that. He still wants to deal with your issue, but we have a little time. You are sacred. You need to know that right now. You are sacred, and God wants you to know that for yourself. The Bible tells us in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So this lack of knowledge is, do you know that you are the temple? Do you know how to treat and use your body properly? See, that's what God's wanting to get at today. During communion, it's about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. What about your body and what about your blood? What are you doing today with yours? So I want you to think about it. What is it that's outside these walls that you're leaving there? I want you to bring them in. Think about them for a moment. It could be anything. I want you to bring them in because we're going to get rid of those momentarily. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 31. I am going to read this. This is in preparation for our partaking today. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now that's a mouthful. You know, that's a lot to take in. But it's all about receiving communion. It's not a difficult thing to do. All you got to do is say, Lord, I need to repent. I just acted this way, or I'm being this way, or I need to let go of something that happened to me 20 years ago. You know, I want to bring up Jim for a minute. I remembered interviewing him on one of my television shows one time. And I said, so what's the secret to your longevity and good health? He says, I hold no grudges. That's what he said. I hold no grudges. I remember that. He doesn't hold anything in his heart because that's what makes us ill. That's what makes us sick. That's what makes us stressed. That's what makes us heavy. That stuff, we need to get in here and let's dump it at the altar. So we're going to examine ourselves. You know, in one of the messages that Butch did, it was last Wednesday night, Paul feared there was something going on in the people. And it was in 2 Corinthians 12, 20 through 21. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 through 21. Paul feared the people were going to act goofy. Okay? I mean, they had all kinds of emotional and spiritual issues that they were dealing with, and they haven't grown up. They're still acting silly and goofy and talking about things and having all kinds of afflictions in their spirit, and they're having conflict with one another, and they're not loving and all this stuff. And Paul feared that the people were still like that. Well, in Mark 7:20-22, Jesus saw the same thing. Jesus saw that from within the heart of man comes these things. Grumblings, complainings, evil, hurt, pain, whatever, unforgiveness comes out of the heart of man. So Paul definitely was on the right track when he said, man, I feel bad for you guys. I hope you guys, you know, get it right. Well, we're going to get it right. Maybe you have some of that stuff in your heart. Maybe you have complained this week. Maybe you have been angry at somebody. Maybe you have to resolve somebody. And you're going, man, I don't want to see them no more. That kind of thing. And we need to take those to the altar. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. My husband and I, every now and then, about every 6 or 8 months, we would get together and I would say, is there anything that I'm doing that you don't like? Is there anything that I've said that hurt you? So every now and then we have those little talks, because that's why we've been married 31 years. The minute you start having secrets and holding things away from each other, that's when you're going to start separating emotionally and spiritually and physically. A lot of people that come to ministry with me, I ask them a question. When did you start holding secrets against each other? That's when you started to go apart. So we talk to each other. We let the bats out of the belfry. Some things are beautiful and some things ain't. But we walk through them together and we talk about it. So that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to go to him and say, this is what I'm carrying right now. This is a little heavy for me. You say that your burden is light, so here, I'm giving it to you. That's what we have to do to these altars, is to take them to the Lord. Matthew 5:23 says this, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that a brother is mad at you, is there anybody in here where somebody doesn't like you very much anymore? They used to be your friend. Now they're not even talking to you. Okay? If you bring your gift to the altar and remember that a brother has aught with you, lay your gift and go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. This is serious business. God knows what's going on. Psalm 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your own bed. Again, examine yourself. So right now, think about it. Those three things I said earlier, what is it that you're holding on to or being distracted out in the world? We want to bring before the Lord. And that's a good start. Recognizing is the number one thing we need to do before we can be free. Psalm 77:6 says this, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. 2:00 in the morning, I get woken up a lot. Okay, God, now what? What do you want me to do now? And I always have to wait and listen, because at that time is when he's wanting me to pray for somebody or do something at 2:00 in the morning. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We have a responsibility. It's not always in, you know, God provides, but we have to repent. We have to recognize what it is and take it to the Lord. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God. What are we submitting? Our will. This is plain as simple as I can get. But what happens is that we go, okay, I need this done, God, but then I'm going to go do it. So we start figuring out, because God wasn't fast enough. So we go and do it, and then we get ourselves into a pickle, don't we? Has anybody ever gotten themselves ahead of God? Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, the heart is purged. Do you want to know the truth? The truth will make you free. But first, it could make you miserable. Because the truth hurts sometimes. Jesus walked around telling the truth and half the people left. They didn't like what he had to say. Matthew 23:26, I love this one. It says, cleanse what is inside the cup, and the outer shall be clean. See, we can come to church, be all beautiful, looking like, you know, we got it all together. But inside, we're crying, we're screaming, we're full of bitterness, we're angry, we have fear, we're jealous, we're envious, we are all these things. No, he says, take it to the altar, dump on me, please, so that the inside of you is clean. Now you're able to receive the elements that portray Jesus' blood and body. And then, of course, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's all about just recognizing, Lord, yep, I did it. I remember that one time in church, I was in the row and I was singing, and I was praising God. I thought I was in the moment, man. I was like, God, you're in my face and everything else. I was so into him that somebody came along and tapped me on the shoulder. They wanted to kind of squeeze in next to me, right? Well, when they tapped me on the shoulder, I went, I must have not looked really happy, okay? They disrupted me from my presence of God. Has anybody ever disrupt you when you're trying to seek God? But the truth is, it's the people. Mankind is our business. Isn't that what Scrooge said? Mankind is our business. So when she did that, she tapped me on the shoulder, I felt terrible. My demeanor changed. I got mad at myself. I felt guilty. And I go, man, I gotta get out of here. I wanted to run out of those doors myself. Until God says, just repent. Oh. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry that I did that to that lady. Instantly, God forgave me, and I was back to praising the Lord like I was earlier. Of course, I did talk to her later about that and apologize. But God put my peace back in me, because all I had to do was say, I'm sorry, that was me. Yeah, I did it. Quit pointing the finger at everybody else. Nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you mad. It's what you do with it that becomes you. They made me so mad. Oh, no, they did not. You made yourself mad because you couldn't forgive them. So that's what I wanted to leave with you today. Just a real quick message on getting rid of the bats out of your belfry. When you come to church, remember that. Remember that you come here to lay it at the feet of Jesus, not leave it in the parking lot. I hope that makes sense to you today. I think it's a good time to remember to repent. You know, one thing you can do in communion, you can do them at home. Anytime you're eating, because isn't that what they were doing at the Last Supper? They didn't, okay, we're having communion now, so let's just go in here and here's the little cup and here's the bread. No, they were eating. They were having a dinner. And in the middle, Jesus stood up and said, here's the cup, here's my blood, and here is the bread, my body. While they were eating. So Tom and I were eating. Hey, let's do communion right now. Okay. So we remember Christ in that moment. You could do it anytime. And it's also a good reminder for you to repent of anything that's in your heart. Have a good discussion with your spouse about what's going on. And then take communion. Isn't that a great exercise to do at home? I think that's a great thing to do at home. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and bring all of our stuff to you. All of our hurts, pains, worries, fears, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, jealousies, rage, wrath, whatever it is, Lord, that we're carrying around in our little spirit, that we leave them with you. I know that we took communion, but you're already working in the hearts of men here, Lord, and the women here, Father, that you are cleaning them up from the inside out. Let us remember to do communion at home, because it's communion, union. It's about people. So Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to remember you when we eat this bread and drink this cup, in Jesus' name, amen.